This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I'm Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is not on PTO. He is back. It's hard to tell because Dennis is still part of the show even when he's on PTO. But that's just dedication. This is pure dedication. I appreciate that. Oh, so apparently for the second day in a row, the Carolina Panthers and New England Patriots were a little warm during joint practices. Another fracas, little fisticuffs. Christian McCaffrey taking umbrage at a hit, and when somebody takes umbrage, hands are thrown. My friend Nada the Scribe, based in Charlotte, CBSSports.com, podcast producer extraordinaire, works with some of our favorite people. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. I know both quarterbacks did bad things and good things again today. Are people in Charlotte only talking about the quarterbacks? Can we not also talk about how the Panthers like to scrap?
Well, let's be real here. If this wasn't the quarterback battle, what else would we honestly have to talk about? Let's be fair about this. If it wasn't for a mediocre quarterback battle,
yeah.
And I'm talking about, this is like choosing your favorite flavor of oatmeal. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody that loves oatmeal, because I love oatmeal myself, but okay. We're talking about different flavors of oatmeal. You might like apples and spice. I might like maple and brown sugar. It's just literally, we're just arguing
right.
Degrees here. But at the same time, I did not expect the Carolina Panthers to come in here and basically treat Foxborough, Massachusetts like the Source Awards. I didn't expect two nights of that. Like, that's, I honestly did not expect them to go up there, start fighting. But you know what? I am glad, because this means there's an edge to this team, it feels like, that there hasn't been in quite a while. Not since like the Cam years. I'm not going to give that to Baker, but I think it's a lot of, let's just be ourselves. Let's grow up. And this was a fairly young team. The fact that this team is starting to grow and starting to feel a little chesty about themselves, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
My friend Nada the Scribe is joining us here, at Nada the Scribe on Twitter, Kanata Edwards. I'm a steel-cut oatmeal guy, especially in the winter.
That's fair.
It's a great way
That's
to – good for your heart. Oh, wonderful. Lowers your cholesterol if you're into that sort of thing. You're right in that it is two mediocre quarterbacks, and I hope that fans are – in full understanding of the fact that we are not talking about a battle between, let's just say, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre here. We are talking about almost the other end of the starting quarterback spectrum. Actually, it is the other end of the starting quarterback spectrum. I'm not sure we have two guys that are good enough to lead you anywhere. But I do think, maybe your read is different, I think Baker would have to be a complete flop to not be the starter against the Browns in week one.
If Baker's not the starter, that means Baker's hurt. Because there's no way – like, I like the fact that they're trying to prop Sam Darnold up to basically say, hey, look, we'll take anything. We might even pay $5 to $7 million of the salary just to get him gone. But at the same time – this is Baker's job. It's clearly been Baker's job. And if you read in between the lines, this was always going to be Baker's job because, quite honestly, we know the ownership and we know the impatience involved with the ownership. He was never going to be like, you know what I want to see? 16 more games of Sam Darnold. Because if that was the case, they wouldn't have traded up for Matt Corral and they wouldn't have traded for Baker Mayfield this late into the season. They didn't want to see Sam Darnold out there,
right.
Much like – the rest of the fan base didn't want to see Sam Darnold out there. And I completely get it, because if I had to see that again, I would probably consider doing something else.
Yeah, there's part of that for some reason had not occurred to me. I actually bought the line that they were not going to trade Sam Darnold and that they were going to go into the season with Darnold essentially backing up Baker. I'm under no illusions that Darnold is somehow going to wrestle the starting job away from Mayfield. But for whatever you think of Baker as a quarterback, the one thing he definitely does well and way better, not only than Sam, but I would say probably 20 other starters in the league, is that he acts the part of the number one quarterback. He carries himself like a team leader and a guy with bona fides that he doesn't have. Sam does not. Sam is the opposite of that.
Absolutely.
I do think they'll, if Sam has a reasonably good preseason and there's a team out there that at the very least needs a backup, yeah, I think they will move Darnold along, and not for any other reason than it would save them some money and that they could go out and add some other things that they might need to plug some holes down the road.
Absolutely, because at this point, we still got to remember that this is a people business. I think sometimes that's something we forget. Sam Darnold might be like okay back there, but at the same point, if you put Brian Burns up to a lie detector, if you put Matt Rhule up to a lie detector, you're telling me that they're like, if Baker gets hurt, we're going to be fine with Sam. And you think that lie detector isn't going to go off? Like that's what's going to end up happening. They don't want to see Sam back there. Sam doesn't even want to see Sam back there. So it's best for everybody else.
Right.
It's best for everybody. It's best for everybody if they make that clean break. They can each do the, it's not me. It's me. It's not you. Speech to one another and go from there. Like, I get it. But at the same point, like, I don't think you can bring Sam Darnold back into that locker room without there being significant problems, because you're only one hit away. You're only one blindside hit away. You're only one Ike Ekwonu missed assignment away from Sam Darnold being back there and not Matt Corral. And that's going to be a problem for everybody involved.
Speaking of Ike Ekwonu and Sam Darnold, I did find it interesting in the first series that Darnold had after the turnover, Ekwonu really got beat badly by Montez Sweat off the right edge. And, you know, he didn't do Sam Darnold any favors, but Darnold still threw a beautiful pass to Rashard Higgins for the touchdown. So I want to recognize that I thought Darnold was pretty good. In fact, maybe even better than Baker in the short stints. With that said, I don't think it matters. Ekwonu was named the starting left tackle today. I'm glad he is, and I hope that he will develop and quickly this year, but I'm not entirely sure that spot was earned, although I'm not sure it really had to be.
The thing is, if there was anyone other, let's say the Panthers signed Dwayne Brown,
right?
Then I would understand, hey, you got to go out there, you got to earn it. The competition was Brady Christensen. Like Adam, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this wasn't going to be that high of a bar to clear. Can you block okay? Cool. Can you learn okay? Cool. Do you have a whole bunch of tools to be our future left tackle? Yes. Then okay, you are going to be the guy. All you have to do, show a pulse and show that you're willing to be coached. That's all he's done. I don't mind that they brought him along slow and put him at left guard. I kind of like the way this is going, and I think he'll be fine. I think a lot of this is just truncated training camps. Remember, we don't have that fourth game anymore, and I think he's the type of guy that needs as many reps as he can just to get familiar, comfortable. So I'm not worried as much about Ike Ekwonu as much as I am some other spots on the team right now.
Well, he has to be the starter at left tackle, and I think Christensen can move inside to guard. I still think they have the makings of, if they have to stay healthy, which they're not right now, Bozeman's hurt, but they have the makings of, I think, a top half of the NFL offensive line. And if they do that, you know, they might be able to threaten 8 wins, which won't get them a whole lot, but it's better than 5. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. Let me ask you this question, my friend Kanata Edwards from CBSSports.com. As somebody who is one of those people who ardently follows the Charlotte Hornets, how does this Bally's app for $20 a month sit with you? For a lot of people who have cut the cord and have gone to, whether it's you, YouTube TV or Hulu or whatever, that's an additional $20 a month. How does this sit with you?
I suggest any Hornets fan that is in your area or in the North Carolina area, become a Hurricanes fan. Maximize your $20 a month.
Yeah.
Because if you're paying $20 a month just for one or the other, I'm sorry, that's never going to be worth it. And I like everybody on the broadcast teams, whether it's the Hornets or the Hurricanes. But this is one of those things, like, you got to be a fan of both. You got to watch all those games. And on top of that, I don't know how to put this. I'm a fan of group economics.
Right.
And just like we know, there are folks that have been using their friend's Netflix account and haven't paid a single thing on the bill since about two presidencies ago. Like, if you got to do that, pitch in and do that. But outside of that, it's outrageous for $20 a month. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing.
I can't justify $20 a month.
$20 a month is steep. Here's the thing about it. That I am a YouTube subscriber, so I, you know, whatever that is per month now, and it's gone up twice since we switched from DirecTV. I am also an ESPN Plus house, so that's now, I think, $11 a month. And recently, because so many of the matches are on Peacock, I just became, at $5 a month, also a Peacock subscriber, so I can watch Christian Pulisic not play for Chelsea, even though both of their matches have been on USA, I believe. Still, right? So I've watched a ton of it. So this is starting to add up. There's no chance I'm buying the Bally's app.
No, absolutely not. But this is one of those things where you might password share. And then on top of that, and this is my bigger problem with this, and I'll be quite honest, this is my bigger problem with the NBA. And this is why I don't understand how the NBA hasn't fought their way out of these blackout rights and just given everybody a league pass that basically you can watch your home team, you can watch everybody else's game, and it would cut out so much of this.
Yep.
And I think that's my biggest problem, is that I hold the NBA more responsible than I do Bally's. Bally's just sees, like, the void that is there. And it's just basically like, okay, here's somewhere where we can make a lot of money. Let's go do that. And unfortunately, Hornets fans, Hurricanes fans, and everybody else, they're kind of at the mercy of this.
I mean, if you're going to fork over the $11 a month for ESPN Plus so you can watch every game in the NHL, you should be able to watch your local broadcast. And the truth is, they're airing the local broadcast. ESPN's not doing the game. They're airing the Bally's broadcast anyway. Just let the commercials play. I don't understand what the problem is. Final thing, we have to be very quick here. Kevin Durant, opening night, does he suit up for the Brooklyn Nets?
Of course he does, because he doesn't have any leverage. Like, that's the thing I don't think we understand. The Nets have him for 4 more years. So, and if you noticed, the Ben Simmons, I'm not going to play thing, that came up. There was a settlement. Remember, there was a settlement that came out.
Yes.
I want to say 2 days ago. Now, mind you, and this is where we're going to play a little connect the dots. You notice that Woj was the one that put that the settlement had been reached, and not Shams. Shams typically gets everything from Clutch Sports Media and Clutch Sports Agency, which, mind you, is, and Ben Simmons is a Clutch client.
Right.
You notice how he wasn't the first one to have that one, right? What makes you think that essentially that was a player-friendly settlement?
Yeah.
So he's playing.
All right.
There's no one's forking over that money, period.
Agreed. My friend, Kanata Edwards, at Nata the Scribe on Twitter. You're the man. I'll talk to you very soon, my friend. Next time, we'll talk about Jacob DeGrom being awesome.
Look, I'm starting to believe, Adam. I'm starting to believe.
Okay.
That's dangerous for all of us.
It is.
That's dangerous for all of us.
100%. Well, cautious optimism is where I live. I'll talk to you later, Nata.
Later, man.
All right. Cautious optimism. That's where I live. Okay?
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Chip is on assignment.
Oh, is he?
Yes, Chip's traveling. And Chip's allowed to be a human being. Like when Chip's like on PTO, he doesn't do the radio show. Just saying.
Oh, that's his choice. Some of us are overachievers. It's even written in my Twitter bio.
Excellent. All right. So Aaron Rodgers is unhappy with his receivers, and this is my shocked face. And this is not about Aaron Rodgers just generally being unhappy, because I don't necessarily believe that to be the case. But you just let Davante Adams, you traded Davante Adams. Alan Lazard is your number one receiver now. And like a way beyond his prime, Randall Cobb is still around. They bring in Sammy Watkins, who's basically become like a third wheel in a good offense. Of course, he says it's not about the veterans. Here's Rodgers and trust.
I feel really bad for Jordan tonight because, you know, we had a couple, you know, total mental busts. We had a drop for a pick. We had, you know, two guys running who knows what. On the third one, I should have thrown the ball there probably, but some of that's veteran stuff, making veteran mistakes. So we're gonna shift that perspective, a little slight adjustment here moving forward, because it's getting close to that time where it's gonna count, and I need guys out there I can trust.
Yeah, that's a it's a problem. I think Rodgers is like, yeah, some of this is mine, but you know, this is the time to work all this stuff out. It is possible, by the way, that Aaron did drink some mushroom tea and that is part of the confusion here. But this has been my view of Aaron Rodgers and the New England and the Green Bay Packers for years. Rodgers makes his receivers. There are quarterbacks that can make any receivers look good. Tom Brady is obviously in that category. Peyton Manning is in that category. But I think Rodgers makes receivers. He makes good receivers great. He makes mediocre receivers good. He is that accurate. He is that smart. He is that poised of a quarterback. I believe that Davante Adams is a very good receiver. And for years, working with Aaron Rodgers, he became the best receiver in the sport. I don't believe that playing with Derek Carr, Davante Adams is the best receiver in football. I'm not talking about from a fantasy perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about from a pure playing perspective. I think Adams is very good and a clear number one receiver, but he'll never be considered the best in the game anymore. Because he's not going to have that impact. Because the quarterback-wide receiver combo with Rodgers was otherworldly. I just think that so Rodgers thinks that Alan Lazard is going to be a number one, that he's more than good enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you are.
I mean, he's their number one option. Doesn't mean he's a number one.
But Rodgers will make him good.
Yeah.
I will point out that really no wide receivers left Green Bay and got better anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right? They did not go to the next spot and go, yep, I'm the same guy I was with number 12. We'll see that with Adams. We didn't see that with Jordy Nelson. Right? Greg Jennings was good, but he wasn't the same when he went to Minnesota. Maybe it's, in some ways, it's the end, right? Those guys are at the end of their careers. But I think Rodgers simply makes receivers better.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.